Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, and we are on Kuf Lamed Amid Beis. We are discussing the intriguing machlokas of Halacha Adifa or Maisa Rav Adifa. Is it better to, is it more authoritative in terms of relating the psak to another case? Is it when the rabbi says, is it when your rebbe tells you Halacha? In a base medrash, he's figuring it out, did he focus on it, did he says it, or Maisarav. Most sources, probably in Shas, are noted to the Maisarav side of things, meaning many times we say things in the base medrash, doesn't mean we're going to paskin that way. But if there's an actual case that comes up, it is a hanhaga, there's a Maisa that comes up, so then it would be different. Again, the Gemara said, unless it said Halacha Limaisa, if the Rav tries to combine it and mention those two words, so then it would be Halacha Lamaisa. We saw the Rashbam at the end, before we start, 6 lines up from the bottom, Amalei, where we will start from. The Rashbam was Bechalik between when the Gemara says and when the Mishnah says Halacha Lamaisa. If the Mishnah says Halacha Kidvarav, that does not mean that we would paskin that way, because it's a Mishnah, and we don't paskin everything from a Mishnah. But if the Gemara says Halacha Kaimalan Kavaseis, then the Rashbam says, Ravina and Ravashi, when they put the Gemara together, so then they said Halacha Kidvarav. If they said it, that was the Masorah that they had, right? The Rashbam again says on the 8th wide line or so, V'kivan she'paskum v'kasvum Rav Ashi v'Ravina shem sof ho'ra'a v'ada alei osamchi. Right, they had a special status, Ravina and Ravashi, right? It's not like even in the times of the Mishnah, right? Usually we think the Mishnah is more authoritative, and an Amora can't argue on a Mishnah, as we have spoken about in the past. But that's true. But in a certain sense, in terms of Psak, we have what's called Halacha Kibasroi. We have Ravina and Ravashi having a tremendous power in terms of their Koach HaPsak. And we know that they had special power, right? The Rambam writes, we discussed this in the Hagdama to Yad HaChazaka. We know the Rambam, besides the three big Hagdamas that he has, the Hagdama to Pirsha Mishnayis, the Hagdama to Chelek, and the Hagdama to Shmona Prakim, right? The Hagdama to Pirkei Avos, Shmona Prakim. So besides those three Hagdamas, he has a short Hagdama, just 4 pages or so, right before Mishnah Torah. A little Hagdama where he goes through the Shalshelas HaMesorah. And he goes through every generation from Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu until Ravina and Ravashi. That's it. He goes through every generation. He goes through who was the Baal HaMesorah. Moshe to Yeshua to Pinchas to Eli to Shmuel. And he continues going through all the Tanakh personalities, going through all the Mishnaic, all the way until Ravina and Ravashi. And then he stops. Asked for Moshe Soloveitchik. Why did he stop? If you look in the Me'iri, in his Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, he goes from Moshe Rabbeinu also, but he goes till the Me'iri. He doesn't go from Moshe Rabbeinu till Ravina and Ravashi. So why the Rambam stop? So explain to Moshe Soloveitchik, because the Rambam is not giving a history book where the Mesorah was from the beginning of the Mesorah till now. No, the Rambam is telling us a halachic principle. There was a certain quality, level of Baal HaMesorah that existed until Ravina and Ravashi. Ravina and Ravashi, as the Rashbam just quoted, Sof Hora, that's quoting a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Ravina and Ravashi have a certain koach ha-psak, and once they say halacha kedvarav, that's it. And that was a certain power of Baal HaMesorah. And that's why it's even meduyik. The Rambam says that by the first level, by the first stage, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to Yehoshua and Elazar, and read a few of Isamar, a few of the, and Pinchas, read a few of the his Talmidim, and then it says, and then he gave the Torah to Yeshua, and then Yeshua to etc. Why does it say first he taught the Torah to a few people, and then it only picks one of them? The answer is there's certain people who have the responsibility of carrying the torch to the next generation. A certain Baal HaMesorah. Many people might have learned Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. But who was the Baal HaMesorah? That was Yeshua ben Nun. That was what the Rambam writes in the Hakdama to Yad HaChazaka. That's what we've mentioned often in the Rama in Chosh Mishpat, in Simen Chaf Hei, where the Rama says that a later generation can argue on the earlier generation. Like the Rambam writes in Hilchas Mamrim. A later Bezdin could argue on an earlier Bezdin. But Bizman HaZeh now, you can't argue on the Gemara. Can't argue on the Gemara. That's what the Ramah in Chosh Mishpat Simen Chafei, which is all about the rules of Psak for a Dayan. Yesh Omrim, Dimnira L'Dayan, Ula B'nei Doro, Mikoach Rayos Mechrachos, Sheina Din Kaboshuska B'poskim. If a Rav wants to argue on the previous generation, even though that might not be a good idea, if one doesn't have the basis to stand on. But Yachol Lach Lok Alav, why? Me'asha Eino Nizkar B'Gemara. If it's not in the Gemara, so then one, technically, one is allowed to argue. Not a good idea, unless one is backed up by many, much of the Masorah. But that's what the Rama says, and that's what the Gra quotes, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, on that Rama, Ravina Varamashi Sofa Ra. And there are many other examples of this, which we're not going to go into now, but says the Rashbam right here, if Ravina and Ravashi said we paskin something, so then we generally paskin that way, even though if it was earlier, it wouldn't have as much authority. Okay, says the Gemara, continuing now. Amarle, fourth wide line. Amarle, Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. Ki amarlan mar halacha, hachi, nevin maisa. If you, Rav Yochanan, if you tell us halacha is like this, should we act based on that, nevin maisa? Omar lo tavidu adaminu halacha limaisa. You can't do anything. You can't pass it that way until I tell you it's halacha limaisa. Right, both, not just halacha, but halacha limaisa. Omar lo rav alav papa ulrafina brader of Yeshua ki asi piska dadina didi lekamaychu. Rav says to his two students, if you get a psak din in front of you of mine, so then the chazisu be pircha and you have a problem with it, you have a pircha lo tikra uhu. Don't rip it up. Don't think it's totally wrong. Send it to me. Ask me. I'll be happy to explain it. But don't just tear it up unless you speak to me about it. If I have a reason to help you, to help explain it, then fine. And if I really made a mistake, I'll be the first to say I'm wrong. Right, big Musar Haskel in life. We always have to be ready to say, I made a mistake. So that's what Rava says right here. I'll be ready to say it. Made a mistake. It gets a little tricky in terms of psak din. Could you be always be chozerbo from a psak din? So the Ron here says it's only he only would be able to be chozerbo if it was a mamish mistake like ta'a b'dvar mishnah. Right? If it was what we call ta'a b'shikol adas, it was just a call that he did and now he thinks otherwise. But if it's not beforeish against the Misora, then he wouldn't be able to be chozerbo. But the Ron says here must be talking about a case where he was really made a mistake, and therefore he would be able to be chozerbo. Says the Ron right here in the Chiddush Iran, Pirish Dafka Yach Pircha Beto B'Dvar Mishnah Habeshigal Adas Hakayim Lan Kam Dina VeEino Chozer. And then he says it's also you see from this Gemara that a the student what halacha do you get from this Gemara, can you glean for this Gemara about Talmidim and Rebbeim talking about Psakim together? What did the Rebbe say? Well, if you think I'm wrong, then I'll... Could they say, could you say your Rebbe's wrong? Well, it has to be said in a certain respectable way. Shema mino da filu ki agavna, even in a case where the Rebbe might be wrong, chayiv Talmud b'chvodo shel Rabbo, shelo yistur as dvarav v'oso din atzmo. Avagad v'dida chozer. You see, even this Gemara, he's saying to them, like, even if you think it's a problem, you know, we'll talk about it, and we'll see. Umiyu dafka bahu psaka dadina gufe, aval bomaisa acher liado, afa bishu sheva lamamish, yachalhu ladun kaboshe nira be'enaf. Right? It's only if your Rebbe has a case of a mamish a psak, like this case. If it's a little different, so then it would be okay for a Talmud to pass in his own way, even if the Rebbe says differently. Okay, either way, so he says, I will take back my din if it's a case where I could take back my din. About Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah. La'achar Misa, but says Rava, if he has died already, then what do? You can't ask Rava anymore. So then it's in limbo. Lo Mikra Tikra Uhu, O Mikra Nami, Lo Tikra Uminei. Just don't use it, but don't tear it up, right? The din that I paskin is still the din. Lo mikra tikra ine. Don't tear it up and assume it's totally wrong. Diavi hasam, dilma havi amina lechutayma. Because if I would still be around, maybe I would explain to you the reason. And therefore, also the Rashbam says on the last line, v'shema gamatem timsu teretz lekush yaschem. And maybe eventually you'll figure it out. Maybe eventually you won't have a problem with it. So don't tear it up, because maybe it's correct, and I would have a reason, or you eventually will have a reason. But also, migmar nami lo tigmru mine, you also can't use it. You can't use it as a basis for halacha if you don't understand it. Why? De'ein l'dayan ela ma she'enov ro'os. What the Gemara says in a number of places, a dayan can only go by what's in front of his eyes. Right? Even if somebody tells him, this is what happened, and this is true, or this is... I can only go by what's in front of me. So therefore, there's nothing more I could do. This principle is used in a few contexts in Shas, but the Yesod is, the Dayan always has to go by his own Svara and his own calculations. Right? The big discussion in the in Ilchas Nida between a father-in-law and a son-in-law. The Taz and the Bach says the Shulchan Aruch is in Kuf Peches, talking about different colors of Ksamim, of Danida. So the Shulchan Aruch, as we know, says red and black are the ones that are a problem, because the Gemara says black is used to be red, but most other colors are, if not all other colors, pink is a problem, but the other colors are okay. That's the Shulchan Aruch. In the days of the Mishnah, they knew differences between different types of reds. We don't have that Bizmana Zeh already, Bizmana Gemara. They said that we're not machali between red and red. We're not on that. We don't have that chachma. But so lemaisa, all reds are a problem. All pinks are a problem. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Peches. Kol mara adom bein imhu keha harbe o amok. It doesn't matter if it's a lighter red or a deeper, darker red. Tveim v'chen kol mara shachar ve'ein tar ella mara la. Only tar Ella, but what's Ella? Any other color, but he's just going to quote the other colors that are common. Ella, Mara, Lavan, V'chein, Mara, Yarok. Yarok in Talmudic times, Yarok means green, but it could mean yellow in the in Talmudic times. Afilu Kamara Hashava, O Hazahav, V'chol Shigena, Yarok, Akarsi, O Ka'asavim, all of those are okay. Afilu Yishbo, Smichos, Dam, B'hu Avaharbe, even if it's thick, right, if it's not a problematic color, it is okay. Ve'filu hergisha sheniftach makoro badka miyadu matza maras halalu tahora. V'chein Iker says the Rama. But then on that halacha, the Taz quotes from his couple of points from his father-in-law, from the Bach, including as follows. Says the Taz, Od himsi morichami. Mem vavches. That's what the Taz quotes all the time. Od himsi morichami zal chumra achas. Dikashi yavo mara yorek v'lovon l'fnei amoreb ba'odolach. When you get when a Rav gets a shayla, and if it's a shayla from a very recent bdika, if it's still wet, if it's still moist, lo yoreb odavar achiz yavesh. Don't answer. Don't paskin right away until it dries. Why? Till lefamim achar shiz yabesh yimsa adom bekisvosav, because it might look good now, but it might not be good in a few minutes when it dries. So therefore, don't answer the psak now, says the Bach, because maybe it's really bad and you'll think it's good. Says the Taz v'dvarav tamuim. We paskin like the Taz. That's what he's talking about. Ein ledayan ela mash ein avroos. The dayan goes by what he's in front of his eyes. If it looks good, he can say it's good. If it's bad, then he can wait, if he wants to. But if it's good, say it's good, and then just throw it away. Dim Kain, Mazda Sharma, Bzimikuf Pevav, Bisha Shane Lavesis, Shatif Dog Smallov, Yatashvish Batola Badika, Givishis Yabesh, Uba Odalach, and Yodas Klumafidvarov. You find he brings many rayas that one wouldn't have to wait. Let me just Sukash Bitabad Arach Bisofar Kalaya Davchaf. Brisa, lo yomer chacham ilu hayalach hayavadei tamei el amrina and ein lo ladayin el mashein of roas. He goes to Gemara Nida Tavchaf, which quotes our principle also. V'cheinu adin lahefich ein lo el mashein of roas kishehu lach uminalan lechalek misvara. And other rayas, it says Rabbi Raw Adam Balayla v'timei oso uba yom tier himtichah chaschas v'timei omer oily shema ta'isi. But you see from there that he's obviously paskening based on what it is right now. One doesn't have to wait, and that's what we assume. If you get a kula, so then you get a kula. The Nozbi Yehuda, if you remember, writes in a tshuva that unlike all other areas of halacha, areas of nida, we always try to be mako. Right? Even though all other areas, we always try to be mako if we can. Kolach that teira adif, as the Gemara says in Beitza. But in terms of, if somebody asks a kashrus question, you have to look at the objective evidence and figure out kosher, not kosher, treif, not treif. But when it comes to Hilchas Nida, the Noda Behuda is Bedaik in the Gemara in Maseches Brachas. The Gemara says that the David HaMelech, what he writes in about comparing himself to all the other kings, he says, all the other kings sleep late and I wake up early. And what do all the other kings do? They're relaxing and enjoying themselves. And what am I doing? Says David, I am involved in a deep way in Psak Din, says the David HaMelech. Lo chasad ani shekol malchi u'mizrach u'mayrev yoshvim agudos agudos bichvodam v'ani yaday melech lochos badam b'shvir u'bashilya. I got my hands in blood, literally. Why? Kidei l'taher isha l'bayla. Doesn't say to figure out what the halacha is. The Rebbe Yehuda points out, kidei l'taher isha l'bayla. Meaning, it's weighted on that side in order to try to be mekel. That's what we try to do. That value of trust by being l'taher isha l'bayla is crucial. And that is why, in this type of case, one is allowed to say, if it's moist, if it's not a good color, the posek is allowed to say, you know what, I want to look at this in an hour, I'll call you back. But if it's good now, there's no, the Taz tells us, right? You don't have to wait. Just look at it, give the psak din tahar, and that is the end of the psak. This principle also just reflects the fact that we use our intellect, and the dayan uses his intellect, and the posek uses an intellect, and nothing else. Right? Right now, I'm not going to wait, I'm not going to this, even if a baskel comes down from Shemayim. That's not what we use. Right? As the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, lo ba Shemayim hi, right? It's not based on anything else except by the intellect and the figuring out the koach ha-psak of the Rav. That's what he does, and this is one of the principles that relates to that. Okay? We continue now. Says the Gemara, second line. Boy Rava. So Rava is now going to continue the discussion of yesterday's daf, and that is Rav Yochanan ben Broka. There's what to say about Rav Yochanan ben Broka in general, but let's try to do some of the daf, and then we'll talk in general about how Achronim formulate him. What did Rav Yochanan ben Broka say again, which we said yesterday that we pask in that way? Right? That's what the Gemara said, Kaimel on Kavaseh. An example of what the Rashbam said before. Rav Yochanan ben Broka says, if somebody is manchil to one of the Yarshim, so then it works. Ben ben Abanim, Bas ben Habanos, Dvarav Kayamin. We don't go so far as to say he can take someone who is an Acher to make him into a Yoresh. No, that doesn't work. Somebody who is a Yoresh and you're making him an exclusive Yoresh, so that is what we discussed, and we discussed different machlokos, which maybe Hashem will get back to. Is it only if he gives all of his lechasim, or even only some of his lechasim? That was the machlokos between the Ritva and the Rashbam. But anyway, Rava has another question now. Boi Rava. Bibari Heich. Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka only when the guy is about to die, and therefore he could already kind of be called a morish, then it's in his power to do this? Or even if he's a healthy, robust person who's not going to die for a while, he's not what we would call a morish yet, lamaisa. So boy Rava, b'bari heich, ki kam Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka b'shchiv meira debar o rusehu. Do we say he only says he's talking about a shchiv meira, where he is a bar o ruse? That's when you apply biyom hanchilo es banav, on the day that he is being manchil. The Rashbam's lashon, 10th skinny line, bar o ruse roi lahorish miyad shaholech lamus the karina bay biyom hanchilo es banav. Right, do we say it's only by a shchiv meira, limited, aval bebari lo, back to the Gemara, o dilma afil bari nami, or even by a bari, right, which do you say? That is the question of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yonah, here in the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, formulates the question, and there's a big footnote in the bottom of Rabbeinu Yonah here, discussing in general, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, relating to this. The way Rabbeinu Yonah writes the question is, ki kamar Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, b'shchiv meira debar ruseh, bebari lo, o dilma loshna, Pirish, mahani afilu bibari bidibura ba'alma. Do we say that even by a bari, just saying these words, saying the words, Ruvain should be the Morish, that's good enough? He didn't do a kinyan, he didn't do a matana, just saying the words, that's good enough? By shchiv meira, you have the precedent of getting by without kinyanim. But here, doesn't say, I mean, how do we know? So, is it bari b'dibur ba'alma, tekivan de ra'ui liyarsho, umi uvada yachal lachzer bo, that's what we discussed also, from the Ksos and the Nesivis, elef shelo chazer bo derav kayamin, v'afal gav de lomatzi bari laknuye midi b'dibur ba'alma, and even though normally a bari cannot be makne anything with just words, right, we need a kinyin, but lashon yerusha, the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is that if you use the lashon of yerusha, yachol lahanchil bedibur lamishu roi liyarsho, you can give it. Migzeres akasev tchsev biyom anchilo asbanav. That's the shaila. The shaila is that usually a bari needs a kinyan. So how could this bari get away without a kinyan? So is it the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is that the shchiv meira can get away with it because that we have a precedent for that, or if the bari uses a lashon of Yerusha, he's like tapping into the hanchala and the Yerusha that happens afterwards, which he also never generally does a kinyan, and therefore it would be allowed. If you look in the footnote here, his chakira, and again, this is the way that some other achronim also use it and formulate it, is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka saying who is a yoresh? There is a Yoresh, and he's just describing who is a Yoresh, or, let me just read the Lashon here. Pirish Rashbam, Uberashba Bir, Debari Vachul, let me do, Vachul, Yoch Bir, Venira, Lechora, together Yerusha, De'ena Tzricha Kinyin Velo Dibur, right, Velo, usually Yerusha is automatic. Hu Be'inyin Tachas Avosecha Yubanecha, Sheyesh Mamshichin Es Bailus Lefi Gidri HaTorah, Sheyipta Kocham, Lios Yarshim Makam Av. As we said, the Yarshim go into the shoes of the Morishim. Right? There's no kinyan that is done. For Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Chidesh, she is geder hanchala sheberoi lira sheish lo shem yoresh mitzad din yatora yish koach la'av l'sader inyan Yerusha. Rabbi Yochanan Baruch is telling us that there's a special koach haTorah that the father has. But Rav is suggesting that the father only has this power when it's about to be in use. When he's about to die. That's when he has this special power of tachas avasecha yubanecha. You can't see that, foresee that, when he is healthy. And the v'ha'avin ha'machadish, and therefore at that time the father is in machadish, who is a yoresh, but... a new Yoresh, but he is just specifying which of these Yarshim is going to Yarshin. Then you would limit it. Or do we say he is even Mechadesh to be a Yoresh? And then even if you're not in the Parsha of Yerusha yet, you're not at the end, right? You're even in a Bari, so then that would be good enough. That's the formulation of the footnotes here in the Rabbeinu Yonah, in the Aliyas Rabbeinu Yonah. Is it that he is saying which or that there is, right, and that might be machalik between whether he's in the parsha of Yerusha or not, it's at the end of the of his life. But again, Rabbeinu Yonah himself says the issue is here that there's no kinyan. So how could that work? Maybe it's limited to Shchimira, maybe not. That is the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, that's the Gemara's question. Let's see what the Gemara answers. Amalei Rav Mishar Shia L'Rava Tashma. Let's try to see. Davar L'Rabbi Nasan L'Rabbi. Rabbi Nasan says to Rabbi, Shanitem Mishnaschem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Rabbi Nasan says to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, there's a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Is that really appropriate? Don't the Rabbanan argue? So how could you say your Mishnah only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch? Ditznan, which Mishnah sounds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch? A Mishnah Meseches Ksubis. The Mishnah, if you remember, the middle Prakim in Ksubis, the fourth parak, the fifth parak, talk all about different Tznai Bezdin. Right, in the Bezdin made the in the Ksuba. If Bezdin makes a Tznai Ksuba that the husband has to do this and the wife has to do this, right? Bezdin made all the conditions of the Ksuba. So one of them is Ditznan, something that we call Ksubis Banin Dichrin. What is that? Lo kasav laban and dichrin ziyavon lecheminoi. If he didn't write to her, the male sons that you have from me, inun yarsin kesav ksubasech yoser alchukayon, they will get the kesav of your ksuba more than their chelik and the rest of the Yerusha de imachun with their brothers. So what exactly is that case? So if you remember, ksubas ban and dichrin is a father has a large dowry to give to his daughter. And his daughter already has previous sons, his grandchildren. The problem is, if he's going to give a big dowry, and his daughter's going to get remarried, and then his daughter is going to predecease his new son-in-law, then all of his stuff might go to the son-in-law's other sons, and not just to the grandfather's grandsons. See, there's a condition in the ksuba, ksubis banin dichrin, the ksuba of the male sons, that when the grandfather, let's call him, gives the dowry to his daughter to get married, that dowry money is only going to his sons. Before the rest of the Yerusha is split up, that money is going to go to his grandchildren. So even if that's not written, it's automatic, says the Mishnah. Chayiv shetznai bezdin hu. Right, that is chayiv because it is a tznai bezdin. V'omar lo, right, and that is even. So what is he doing? He's the grandfather is orchestrating a Yerusha, even though he's a bari. He's not a shchivira. So does it, and he's able to do that. I'm sorry, we didn't get to that that diak yet. That's true. But what is the point of the Gemara? Rabbi Nasser is talking to Rabbi. Isn't this mission like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch? Because he is earmarking certain yarshim more than other yarshim. Right? He's giving it to his grandchildren and not to the other children of his son-in-law. So isn't that like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch? So yes, Rabbi Nasser. Now, why are you going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch? Why are you being so same like him? V'yomala Rebbe, and Rebbe answered, you're right. You're right if that's, the din seems like a Rebbe Yochanan ben Baruch, but change a word in the Mishnah. Doesn't say Yarsun. That's not what it should be, meaning the Lashon of Yerusha. Yasvun Tnan. Yasvun Tnan means that he should take it. Meaning it's a special din to Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan made in the Tanai Ksuba, that he's allowed to do this, but not me din Yerusha. Just be din, special takana derabanan. Yasvun, and therefore it's not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Nothing to do with Yerusha. Special din, that they will take it. V'yomar Rebbe, and then later on, when Rebbe was thinking about this a little more, he said to himself, Yaldas ha'isabi. I was so young and I made a mistake. V'he'asti pani banasana bavli. No, I was mazed, I didn't speak properly, meaning There's a much better answer I could have given. You don't have to change the lashon of the Mishnah to Yasvun instead of Yarsun. No, Ella Dekaimalon Bun and Dichrin Lo Tarfi Mi Mishabdi. We hold that the Ksubas Bun and Dichrin, if the wife predeceases, Lo Tarfi Mi Mishabdi would not be able to take from Mishubadim. Right, they aren't able to take from the mishubadim of their father. So isal kadai dach yasvun tnan. If it's true what I just said, that you switch the word to take amai lut, meaning, and therefore what? It's basically a gift that the grandfather is giving at that moment. He's saying it's all going to go to my grandchildren. So then amai lut tarfi mi mishabdi. If he gave a gift, right, it's already theirs. At the time that it's already earmarked for them from beforehand. So why wouldn't the children, meaning the grandchildren, even be able to collect from Mishubadim? Right? Look at the Rashbam in the medium lines, fourth medium line. V'i miyahi shaita chala matanaso. If, when the ksuba is written, and we change it to Yasvun, which means it's a gift. So if that's true, havei tarfi mishabdi. Then those grandchildren should be able to get even from encumbered properties. Properties that their father had sold in the interim. Back to the Gemara, Elashmamina Yarsuntanan. So it must be no, it is a din of Yerusha, because Yerusha, as we know, doesn't collect from Mishubadim. Right? Back to the Rashbam also, Elamishamachi, Amina Lashon Yarsun, to Lashon Yerusha, Eno Elala Achar Misa. And if Yerusha is only Lachar Misa, obviously, so then it would not collect from Mishubadim. And if that's true, Rebbe continues, Man Shamas Leilisle Hai Svar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, right? And therefore, Rebbe says it must be, the Lashon is Yerusha, like I said. And you're right, I was so sin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. But what's clear from the Mishnah, for our purposes, Vishvamina Afilu Bibari. Even a Bari, right? The grandfather is healthy when he makes this condition in the Ksuba. It is a form of Yerusha. It's not just a form of a Matana. And therefore, Rabbi Nassim was right. But, you know, Rebbe said, I am being so same like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Period. Let's just continue, and then we'll come back to the Ksuvas Bun and Dichrin. Amalei Rav Pavel Abaya, Bein Laman Da'amar Yasun, Bein Laman Da'amar Yarsun, says Rav Pavel Abaya, I don't understand whether you switch the word or not, Ha'ein Ada Machna Davar Shlomo La'olam. But some of those properties aren't existent yet. So how is the grandfather Machna yet? Right, Rabbi Yonah emphasizes, even be Yerusha, we say, Ein Adam Makne, Davar Shlomo La'olam. Via Filer Rabbi Meir, Damar Adam Makne, Davar Shlomo La'olam. And even if you want to say that he can be Makne, Hani Mili Ludavar Sheyeshno Ba'olam. That's only to, even if you want to say you can be Makne, the Chafatzim that are not yet here, it has to be to someone that is already existent. Aval Lidavar Sheyeshno Ba'olam Lo. The children aren't born yet. Right, his grandchildren from his daughter, right? What's he saying? All the stuff, all the nechasim that I give to my daughter has to go to her sons that she has from you. They're not born yet. So the whole thing is a problem. So the Gemara says, Ella, what must you say? Ella, t'nai best and shiny. But what must you say? Why does it work? Because Besdin has the power to make a din that is a rule breaker from normal dini mamonis. T'nai best and shiny. The Rosh Bamir says, Hefker, Besdin, Hefker. Right? Besdin has the authority in terms of financial issues to, you know, be flexible. So that's what you say over there by Ksubas Bun and Dichrin. So Chanami Tanai Besdin Shani, say here too. By Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, we could say, I'm sorry, not, just like you have Eina Damaka Dosha Bala Olam, is the, they make their own rules, Tanai Besdin. So Chanami is here too, when the issue is Mishubadim, not Mishubadim, and if it would be Matana, you wouldn't be able to get it. Tanai Besdin Shani. In other words, Rav did not have to answer that this is a Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. He could have answered, it's a special Din Rabbanan. A special din miyuchad of a din d'rabbanan, and it is a rule breaker. He's not boxed into the fact that it should only be Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka and it's Yarsun. So therefore, we're back to the question, really, of why do you have to say it is limited? So Amalei, so he answers that Rabbi Nassan was still bothered why Rebbe used that lashon. Even if you want to say it's a special din, Amalei mishum tekamafik la balashon Yarsun. That was the problem that Rabbi Nassan had. He used that lashon, which is misleading that it's a real din of a Yerusha. We're still in the middle of the conversation, but we'll stop there for a moment before we get up to Hadar. Ksubas Bun and Dichrin, interesting. It's a Tanai Ksuba, but it's not in any of our Ksubas. Right, the Rush discusses this in Maseches Ksubis. Right, even if we listen and we understand the Aramaic of the Ksuba read at the wedding, right, there's no Ksubis Ban and Dichrin in there. Right, why? Because things work differently today. Right, the Rush writes already in the time of the Gaonim, some Gaonim got rid of Ksubis Ban and Dichrin because the dowries and the Yerusha works differently today, so we don't really need that. That's what the Rush discusses. The Achronim, the Mishkanus Yaakov, asks though then, but I don't understand, don't we usually have the principle of Davar Shebeminyan, Sarach Minyan Acher Latira? Once there's a Din Rabbanan, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore, the Din still applies. We know, that's the rule. Gemara in the first parak of Beitza. So how is it, just because Ksubis Ban Adichrin, right, many Dinim, even if the reason might not apply anymore, right, Yantif Sheini maybe, and Shchika Shamamanim, there are Xeris, there are Takanas, so why all of a sudden here do we say that it doesn't apply anymore? So the Kohelis Yaakov develops, and Rav Shechter talks about this in Eretz HaTzvi, in a Sefer here on page Kuf Lamed Hey, where he discusses there are different types of Takanas Durabanan. There are some Takanas Durabanan that have the reason, or Xeros, that have the reason built in. And if the reason is built in, so then, Memela, once the reason doesn't apply anymore, the whole din falls away. Most Takanas Xeros do not have the reason built in. And therefore it's independent. And if the reason is not built in, meaning formulated within the Xera, so then even if the reason does not apply anymore, the Xera and the Takana still stands. How do you know the difference? What's the difference between whether you know Xera or the reason is built in or not? So explains the Kohelis Yaakov, which is the Mishkos Yaakov Sefer Maseches Beitza. It depends if the din is going against a din d'oraisa. If the Rabbanan are doing something against a din d'oraisa, so then you have to say that the reason is built in, meaning it's somewhat temporary, like a Harat Shah, and therefore, if the reason at some point doesn't apply anymore, then the din will be batel, and you'll go back to the din d'araisa. Masha'enkid, if it's not going against. So what are examples of that? Here's one of them. Ksubis Ban Adichrin is going against the din d'araisa of Yerusha. Normally, what would happen? A wife dies, all of her stuff go to her husband. Her husband dies, it goes to all of his sons, split up equally. Doesn't matter who the mother is. Ksubis Ban Adichrin goes against that for the good of society at that time. But that is why, once that doesn't apply anymore, that reason, because Yerusha works differently, so then, and then the din wouldn't apply either, because it goes against the din of Yerusha. Another example, Beis Yosef discusses, Birchas Kohanim, the Beis Yosef says, based on the Mishnayos in Megillah, and the Gemara there, if a Kohen has certain blemishes on his hands, he's not allowed to duchen. He's not allowed to do Berachas Kohanim. People are going to look at his fingers, and, you know, it's distracting. He can't duchen. But the Beis Yosef says, nowadays, because the Kohanim put the talus over their hands, it's not a problem, and they're allowed to duchen. What do you mean? The Gemara says that there's a din, that a Kohen can't duchen with movement on his hands. The answer is no. Once the Rabbanan said that, but that goes against the din d'araisa, Berachas Kohanim. Mi d'araisa, Kohen can duchen, no matter what his fingers look like. Midrabanan, we say not to, but because that's knocking out a din d'araisa, that is why it has to be limited. Right? It has to be limited based on, you might say, based on connected to that taz in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that the Rabbanan don't have the power to knock out a din that's mutter. Permanently, temporarily, they can. But Mikra din, they can't. It also explains, with this, we'll finish this section, the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha asks a question which he does not answer. He says, if nowadays in almost all of our communities we don't have a Rosh Hasharabim d'Araisa, most of what we have are Rosh Hasharabim d'Rabbanans, and that's why you can build an Eruv. Right, if we know, step one, ABCs. If you have a Rosh Hasharabim d'Araisa, you can't build what we call an Eruv with the string going around. But if most of what we have is Rosh Hasharabim d'Rabbanan, so why can't we blow shofar on Shabbos? Right, what's the Hochshash? Gzeira d'Rabba, you might come to carry, but the Hochshash today is a d'Rabbanan. So why can't we say that we'll blow shofar? So he doesn't answer the question. What's the Chafetz Chaim talking about? It's a din, it's a gzera. We can't get out of that gzera. We can't be mevata like gzera. Davar Shebeminyan. The answer is, why is he bothered? Because really that din is going against the din d'araisa of shofar on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So therefore he's bothered. He doesn't say that we're going to change it. But he's bothered. Why not at least? So at least we understand that question. Because it is knocking out a din d'araisa. This is another one of those examples. Ksubis Ban Adichrin, as is brought up here, is going against Yerusha. Right? That's why it's brought up in this parak here. And that is why it might not, according to a number of Gaonim, and according to our Minhag, it's not an Ark Ksuba, it does not apply Bizman Hazeh. Okay, we continue. Hader Amaraya, we're still in the conversation of Rabbi Nassan and Rebbe. Remember, Rabbi Nassan was very bothered. Why is Rebbe so same like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? And Rebbe answered that because this is what I hold, and this is what the halacha has to be, and even from by a bari. So Hader Amaraya, La Milzi Da Amri. No, there's a different din. There's a different reason why it can work. What does that mean? Ditznan. Because Abaya says there are really two tna'i ksuba that kind of are a tandem, that go together. What is it? We just had ksubas ban and dichen, but there's another tna'i ksuba about the daughters. Lo kasav la, if he didn't write in the ksuba, ban in nukvon dieven lechiminoi, the female children that you have from me. Yevun yasvin bevesi, v'yitzum minachasai, the father promises that even if he dies, or if he divorces, whatever it is, the daughters will be able to sit in my house and get mizonos from my property, ad tilkuchin legufrin, until they get married. Chayiv shu tanai bezdin. So he's allowed to, he has to do that, right? He has to commit that he's going to support his daughters. V'havi lazeh b'matanav lazeh b'yerusha. So in this shtar, ksuba, he has some matana and some yerusha. The daughters are getting matana, right? The mizonos. The sons, ksuba b'nadichrin, that's getting yerusha. Says Abaya, if this is the case, v'kol lazeh b'yerusha v'lazeh b'matana. Didn't we mention a couple of days ago? If you have one shtar, as long as you use a lashon matana somewhere in the shtar, even if it's two different cases, afilu rabbanan modo, even the rabbanan would be modo that it's nechshav matana and it's good enough. So Abaya says, you're not boxed into Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Right, you have this one shtar, and this the ksuba, it has a lashon matana, as a lashon of yerusha, and therefore it should be acceptable even according to the rabbanan. Is that really true? How can you say these two go together? Who says that these? They're both in the ksuba right now. Correct, says Abaya said, and that's what Rav Nachumi says. But who says they were put into the ksuba at the same time? Who says that they're supposed to be a tandem? Who says they're looked at as one document? Maybe they're from two bati dinim. They happen to lamaisa be in the ksuba, but they're not connected to each other. We wouldn't look at it as one shtar with a lashon of Yerusha and a lashon of Matana. Who says? So the Gemara answers, we say, lo sal kadaitach, diktani reisha, because the beginning of that Mishnah says, beginning in that parak, zeh medrash darash rabbi ben Azarya, lefnei chachamim bekeren biyavne, habanim yirshu, v'habanos yizonu. So you see, it goes together. They said it, ma habanim enam yirshim alachar misas avihem, just like the sons only get Yerusha, and the special form of Yerusha, ksubas banan dichrin, until after the father dies. Afabanos lo yazunu elalachar misas avihem. So too the daughters only get mizonos until after the special mizonos until after the father dies. So e amar bishlam abachad beidina iskin. If you say that it was made at one time and it's one bezin is the source, haynu dialfina takana bitakana. That's how you can compare the two. Learn one from the other. Ela e amrit bitrei beidina iskin. If it's from two different times, hechi alfina takana mitakana. How can you learn? You can't compare the two. And therefore, it must be that you can compare the two. And therefore, it's looked at as one shtar with a language of Matan and a language of Yerusha. So it could even work according to the Rabbanan. You don't have to say it's limited to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Period. Last line. The Gemara goes back and says, how do you know that? Mimai. Dilmal olam emelecha betrei bedin iskin. No, Raya, maybe it was made at two, from two batei dinim. And therefore, you can't compare the two cases, and you can't look at it as a lashon of Matan and Yerusha in the same shtar. Ubeidina basra tikkun kebeidina kama. It was made separately. It was just that the second bezdin added on to the first. Kihechi delo tiksha takanta takanta. So you can't ask, that one takana should be going in a different direction and in a different rules than the other. What exactly is the maskana? Lamaisa we pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, so it's not terrible and it's not the worst to assume that Rebbe was so same. The Mishnah Ksuba is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It's not 100% clear whether you, at the end of the Gemara, whether you're forced to say that Mishnah is only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. But either way, doesn't make a difference. Halacha Lamaisa. The Rosh here discusses what exactly is the maskana. Just 2 points. Number one, on the topic of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Again, we said that there are different ways to look at it. If you look in the Minchas Asher here in Baba Basra, his formulation in Simin Nun Dalid, he starts off with the machlok, as we mentioned yesterday, the Ksos and the Nesivas. Whether you can be chozer bo from a declaration of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The person says, I want to give it to this son, Ben Ben Abanim. Can he be chozer bo before he dies? So says no. And the Nesivas says yes. Right? So what's that? Why would you be able not to be chozer? Why would you not be able to be chozer bo? So the way that the Minchas Asher formulates the Chakira is when Rabbi Yochanan says it works, and this is similar to what we mentioned from the footnotes before in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Is it a minui of a yoresh? Is that the chiddush? That he can appoint a yoresh. There's 10 yarshim, I am making you the yoresh. Hey, Ayadia, is that what it is? Or is it just a hakna'as nechasim? Everybody's a yoresh, but I am moving the property. We might call this gavra chefsa. Is it focusing on the person? You are declaring, you are labeling. I am labeling one of the children a yoresh, the yoresh. Or I'm not labeling anything. I am just moving property from certain yarshim to others. So he suggests that's the machlokas between the ksos and the nesivas. If it's about moving property, then no property moved yet. And therefore, that's the nesivas. You could be chozer bo. But if it's about labels, maybe a label is a label, and once you label, then it's done. You can't undo it. To laksos ina av maknu manchli yerusha. According to the laksos, the father is not focusing on being makne the property. Ela mimane lo yoresh bilvad v'nosein lo shem yoresh v'lachein svirale. It's still a chiddush, but it's more explainable. To kivan shenosan lo shem yoresh hari nigmar inyan zeh v'shuv ena chozebo. This is done. It happened already. Mashaikin, according to the Nesivis, you would say that it's a kinyan. You're giving over the property, and therefore you're setting it up now, but it's only going to happen later. And therefore it didn't happen yet, and you would be able to be chozer bo. He also says, this explains the machlokas we shown him, we said yesterday, whether you have to give all of your property or not. Says the Ritva, says it only works with kol nechasav v'lo b'miksasan. Right? Why? Why would that be? When else do we have a difference between whether you give all or nothing? Ma'an a shchiv mira. We know by a shchiv mira, it only has the special dinim if he gives away all of it, if he does something with all of his property. Because that's when we know he really thinks that he's about to die, and we don't want him to have hesach hadas and tiruf hadas. Right? So says the Ritva, so if you compare it to ma'an a shchiv mira, then you would limit it to kulo. Right? So he says, if it's considered, that ma'an a shchiv mira is a hakna that we let happen without a kinyan. So if you say it's kulo, so maybe that's like the nesivus, and that's like it's an issue of giving over hakinyan here on the properties, compared to ma'an shchiv mira. But if you say it's about a label, why should it be limited? You can label whoever you want. The Torah is b'chadish. You can give a label to a certain yoresh, so then you can give a label to whoever you would want. Or a third nafgamina. This we didn't mention yesterday. Can it be balkarcha? What if the son does not want it? There's one son, he knows that if he gets all of the stuff, the other brothers are not going to like him. Right? So he doesn't want to be the only Yorish. He wants to split up with his brothers. The father loves him, but, you know, he understands all the brothers. Rabbi Chanan wonders, can it be Balkarcho of the Yorish? So again, if it's a Hakna, you're giving over the property, we never generally have a Kinyan Balkarcho, with certain exceptions, but generally we don't. But if it's a label, I'm labeling you. You don't have a say in the matter. So then it could be that it wouldn't be allowed in that case to be balkarcha. So those are three nafkaminas that's here, the Minchas Asher in Simin Nundala. Okay, we continue. There's more about the koch of the Rabbanan to make takanas, but let's continue first. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Vayter Hakosev Gonachasev LeIshto Lo Asa El Aputrapa. If a man writes all of his properties to his wife, he gives all of his property, so we assume he's not really giving his property to his wife. He's not being Morish, he's not giving a matana. Right? Rashbam says here, Balashon matana. We assume we're omitted in his das that what he writes in the ksuba or what he says is not true. He doesn't mean it. All he means by this is that he wants her to be the guardian and the angel to take care of the property. Why is he saying it in this way? He wants his kids to give her kavod. He wants them. So if he puts her in charge, they're going to treat her properly. And therefore, that's why he does it. Right? Lo asa el aputrapa. He makes her into an aputrapas. Rashbam, last skinny lines. To omed hada'asi, the ein adam eniach es banav, v'nosin es hakol ishto. Person doesn't do that. V'lo niskavin elo la asosa aputrapa, kedeshi yachalku la banav kavod. He wants his kids to give her kavod. So if she's in charge of the properties, so that's she will get kavod from them. That is what the Gemara assumes. Shmuel says, right, lo asa ela apu. Apu Chapa. Interesting, not for now, but we'll have to get to that Hashem later on Kuf Mem Beis, in 10 blot from now, says the Mish Gemara, this is one of the three that are called Hilchoso Bolo Taima. The Gemara says that there are three halachos that don't really have such a great svara, but they're a din. Right, Maim and Shlashtan is one of them that we know from the first parak in Maseches Gittin. This is another one, right? Lo Asa El Apu Chapa by the wife, because we're basically reinterpreting his words. He says, I'm giving it all to my wife. And we're saying, no, you didn't. You're not giving it to your wife. Right, that's two. And there's a third one over there that we'll get to back on Kuf Mem Beis, but this is one of the three of Hilchos Bolo Taimas. So says the Gemara. Pshita, what about other people? So by the wife, we say, okay, you don't mean it. You're just making her into an Apu Chapas. Hashem will talk about Apu Chapas maybe the next year. Apuchapas comes up. Pshita b'no agadol lo asel apuchapas. Also, b'no agadol, if he gives all of his property to his eldest son, that's also because he only wants them to give him kavod. Why? Because that's also a mitzvah daraisa. Right? A second level, right? Giving the ach agadol. We know, kavod esvicha ve'es imecha es l'rabos ach agadol. See here too, if he gives his property to the oldest son, so we assume he's only doing that to help encourage them to give him kavod. When does he want them to give him kavod? Probably after he dies. Does this Gemara prove anything about the issue of whether the mitzvah of giving kavod to the older brother is only when the father's alive or even after he dies? So it could be read in one of two ways. Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes it on Shulchan Aruch. So on the one hand, you might say he's encouraging them because he wants them to fulfill the mitzvah. And he knows that the mitzvah is going to be harder to fulfill after he dies. So he's encouraging them. Or it might be exactly the opposite. He knows that the mitzvah is only while he's alive. But there's no mitzvah afterwards. But he still wants them to treat him properly. So that's why he's doing this, in order that they do it, even though there won't be any mitzvah anymore. So this Gemara is not a raya either way. Or it could be a raya either way. Right? That's the Pesachei Tshuva quotes this issue. If you want to look it up, in Simen Reish Mem, in Hilchos Kibud Av Ve'Eim, the Pesachei Tshuva is in Os Yud Ches. He quotes this machlokas between the Ramam and the Ramban, whether Acha Gadol is even Lachar Misa of the father and the mother. Again, the issue is it an outgrowth of Kibud Av Ve'Eim or not? But again, this Gemara can be read in either way. Benoah Katan Mai, what about a younger son? So what do we say there? So, Itmar Rav Chani Loi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel, Afilu Bino Katan Amuto Barisa. Even a very young child, we assume, Lo Asa El Apuchapa. Says the Bach, maybe he could already see that this son's going to be very smart. So he wants him to be in charge of the money. Okay, fine. Pshita Bino Va'acher. Acher B'matanu U'Bino Apuchapas. If it's a Bino, he gives money to a son or an Acher, this Acher is B'matana. Why? Because why would he be faking it by a totally non-relative? So if he gives a matana to a non-relative, he obviously means it. So acher b'matana ubeno apuchapas. Ishto arusa v'ishto grusha. What if it's a wife that he's no longer married to, or he's not married to yet? So b'matana, that again, we assume he doesn't feel so closely with her that he would be so worried about her kavod. So we take what he said literally. And therefore, it would be a gift, a full gift to the arusa or the grusha. Iboilahu. But what about this case? Bas eitzel habanim, ve'isha eitzel ha'achim. Right, that's what this is here. It's similar to like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Right, what if it's someone who is a yoresh, but not in the first tier right now? So bas bein eitzel habanim, ve'isha eitzel ha'achim, ve'isha eitzel b'nei habal mahu. So what about those cases where it is someone who is royally yarsho eventually, but not now? So Amar Avina Mishpeh Derava, Bikulu, Lokana, Labar Me Ishto, Arus of Ishto Grusha. All of them, we assume Apuchapis, except for these two. Rabbi Avir Mishpeh Derava Amar, Machlokas, what about Rava? Bikulu Kani, Labar Me Ha'ishay Salachim, Ishay Sal B'nei Abal. Right? A different distinction. If you do the math, the one that's a Machlokas is Bas Ben Abanim. Bas Ben Abanim is the Machlokas, whether that is Matana or that is Apotropis, but this is the question, but it seems like a question about the Umdana. How do we assume these relationships would carry out? How much would the husbands or the fathers be worried about the kavod? We're talking all about these Dinan Drabana, and just to finish up with, keep in mind, remember the Machlokas, in general, where did the Rabbanan get power to make Rabbanan, Dinim Drabbanan? Right, Tanai Ksuba, the Dinim Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, that's a Din Daraisa, but they Darsh it. Where did the Rabbanan get such power? So we know that's a machloka between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam is a little more famous. The Rambam says it's Lo Sasur. The Torah says that we have to listen to the rabbis. And the rabbis have the power to make laws. Asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. So that gives the Rabbanan the power. And then we have to listen to them. And you have all the kashas on the Rambam. If it's a din d'oraisa for the Rabbanan to make dinim, so every din d'oraisa is really din d'oraisa, and how do you ever have a sabi d'Rabbanan l'kula v'chulu? But the Ramban is very forceful in assuming that lo sasur does not apply to every din d'Rabbanan. And that's where a lot of the discussion is. The question, though, then is, Rabbi Chanan asks, says, okay, Ramban, you have a lot of kashas on the Rambam, but what about according to you? Where is the source in the Torah that you have to listen to the Rabbanan? Right? Asu mishmeres l'mishparti is that that's a Gemara, right, I think, in Yevamos, that they're allowed to make the laws. But where is it that you have to listen to the Rabbanan? If it's not lo sasur. So explains Rabbi Chanan in the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, maybe it's based on the concept that it's obvious. It's what we might be called, what he calls Ratzon HaTorah. That if the Torah says the Rabbanan can make laws, then obviously you have to listen to those laws. The Torah is not going to say, it's obviously, you read the Gemara. It's clear that the Hashem wants us to listen to those laws that the Rabbanan have the power to make. And therefore, it's more of a Svara, a Ratzon Hashem, a Ratzon HaTorah. That would be the basis for the Koach of for us to listen to the Rabbanan according to the Ramban. Okay, but either way, this is the Gemara. Again, next time, the next stop will be put up from the last cycle. Again, I talk about Abu Chappas at the beginning. Another Shem will pick up with this after, as we continue marching through Perek Yesh Nochlin.